This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
CeraVe Facial Moisturizers with SPF protect skin against damaging UV rays and continuously deliver three essential ceramides to help restore skin's protective barrier so it can lock in moisture. Non-greasy, fragrance-free, and won't clog pores? With CeraVe, skin feels hydrated and looks healthy all day. CeraVe Facial Moisturizers with SPF from the number one dermatologist recommended facial moisturizer brand.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At the UPS Store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
Hi, this is Janine, host of the Olive Magazine podcast. You're listening to episode 2 of our special vegan theme series. In this episode, I chat to Olive nutritionist Kerry Torrens, who answers some common health questions around pursuing a vegan diet, including how you can eat vegan and still ensure you're getting all the nutrients you need. This episode, I'm talking to Kerry Torrens. Now, Kerry's a qualified nutritionist with postgraduate diploma in personalized nutrition and nutritional therapy, and she's got almost 2 decades of experience in the industry and spent many years working with Olive Magazine and our sister magazine, BBC Good Food. So she's brilliantly placed for this episode. Thanks for coming, Kerry.
Thank you. It makes me sound old, doesn't it? Almost 2 decades.
Makes you sound very wise and experienced. And today we're talking about adopting a healthy vegan diet, trying to give you some practical tips, because we realise there's a lot of confusing info around the benefits of a vegan diet. So we're going to try and look at how you can eat vegan and still ensure you're getting all the nutrients you need. The first question I've got for you, Kerry, is, and it's a big question, is why is there so much conflicting info out there about vegan being healthy, not healthy? Why is vegan not always synonymous with healthy, I guess?
Okay. Well, I think we need to look at the core principle of a vegan diet and lifestyle, and that is to avoid cruelty and exploitation of animals wherever practical. So that's the core principle, but there are aspects of a vegan diet, such as being a plant-focused diet, that can be really beneficial for our health. We know that there's numerous studies out there that suggest plant-focused diets reduce the risk of heart disease, stroke, type 2 diabetes, and some forms of cancer. And also with a vegan diet, it can address some of the general weaknesses in our UK diet. For example, most of us don't get enough fibre, and also we're not eating enough of our 5 a day. We also tend to be eating too much saturated fat, and obviously as a vegan, you do achieve mainly your 5 a day and some more. You tend to eat quite a lot of fibre, which is really good, not just for the digestive system, but also for our gut microbiota, so those good friendly gut that live, good friendly bacteria that live in the gut. And also it's lower in fat generally. So there's lots of plus points with a vegan diet, but it does need some planning and some consideration about the variety of the foods that you include.
Okay. And why do you think that there's kind of information out there where people are saying it's not that healthy. Is that because of, you know, people maybe adopting it as a method of, I guess, you know, cutting out various things in their diet, or they're adopting it in a different way?
Yes, I think so. Over the last 5 years, a vegan diet has become twice as popular. I mean, it's hugely popular. And with that has come a mass production of convenience and fast foods, which are vegan. They avoid animal products, and therefore they're suitable for those on a vegan diet. But many of these are still high in fat, sugar, salt. So all the things that we should be avoiding when we're eating processed or junk foods. And many people, when they start out on their vegan journey, tend to rely on these because they're convenient, they're easy, they're complying with the diet, but they're not as good for you nutritionally and for your health. So I think that's a big area that needs to be addressed if you do start on a vegan diet. Mm.
I guess when you're replacing, though, that there's probably some merit in having small amounts of, you know, a bit like we do in everyday life. There's, you know, we obviously have a certain amount of processed food, and that's fine as long as it's not kind of dominating your diet, as long as you're getting all of the other things in there as well.
That's true. And with processing, it's not all bad, because some of the fortified foods that vegans tend to rely on, such as fortified plant milks, spreads, breakfast cereals, they're processed, but they're good because they're contributing some of the nutrients that vegans tend to be low on. So I'm not saying avoid all processed foods. There's certainly a place for them. It's just avoiding some of those fast junk foods that can be easy to rely on, especially when you're starting out.
I guess it's just, you know, being mindful of it and reading the packet like we do anyway in a normal diet, you know, making sure that you know what you're kind of taking in and getting the balance.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually, because it's reading labels for fat, salt, sugar, etc., but also understanding the ingredients, because that's important when you're a vegan as well.
Yeah. So talking about getting the balance right, could you describe, say, for dinner one night, what your kind of ideal plate, which would give us like a round nutritional meal, you know, a meal that would sort of cover most of our nutritional needs, like within reason, obviously.
Okay. Yeah. Well, first of all, I'd say if you're starting on a vegan journey, the first reference point should be the Vegan Eat Well Guide. And you can find that at the Vegan Society's website. And this gives you a really good outline of all the main food groups you should consider. Plus, it also gives you an idea about how fortified foods and supplements fit into that balanced diet. So that's a good reference point. From an easy everyday point of view, what I like to do is I like to think of the plate and divide it up. So 50%, so half of your plate, should be fruit and vegetables. And that's going to be things like green leafy vegetables, tomatoes, avocado, broccoli, cauliflower, those sorts of vegetables. Then the next half you want to divide, and a quarter will be protein foods. And ideal proteins for vegans are beans, peas, lentils, tofu, nuts, seeds, all those sorts of things. So that's your protein. And then the final quarter is going to be your carbohydrates. And typically we say choose whole grain carbohydrates. So that's going to be whole grain wheat, whole grain rice, oats, starchy vegetables such as potatoes. And then you can go for the whole grain pastas and things like that. So that's your overall plate. Now, within that, you might think, okay, I've got my protein, I've got my carbs, where's my fat? Well, the fat will come in a couple of places, because this is interesting with a vegan diet, is that protein sources, for example, aren't just protein, they're nutrient-dense sources. So they're going to be giving you carbohydrates and fats as well. So your nuts and seeds that I've put in protein, that's going to be giving you some of the fats. Avocado that's in your vegetable section, that's going to be giving you some of the fats. But I'd also say you should then drizzle your veggies or your salad or whatever with a good oil. And for a vegan, The really good option would be something like flaxseed oil, because it gives you what we call short-chain omega-3s. And these are the really beneficial essential fats that we need to get from the diet. And I'd also say, when you're cooking, think about using cold-pressed rapeseed oil. And the reason I say this is not because olive oil, I'm downplaying olive oil. Olive oil is amazing. Extra virgin olive oil is full of polyphenols, really beneficial. But the good thing about cold-pressed rapeseed for a vegan is that it contains 10 times the amount of omega-3 essential fats. And that's a really key thing in a vegan diet. So certainly cooking with a cold-pressed rapeseed, and we've got some great UK manufacturers of rapeseed oil, so it will cut down on your food miles as well. And I think that would give you a good sort of basis on what to, on how to plan your meals.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, whenever you hear about the vegan diet, people seemed obsessed with protein and getting the right amount of protein. I mean, what you've described there is protein is a quarter of your diet, so it shouldn't really dominate your thinking, I guess. But why do people get so hung up on that?
Yeah, I think we've changed the way we look at plant protein. So typically, when I first started my nutrition studies, we used to talk about plant proteins being incomplete proteins. So that meant that they didn't contain all of the essential 9 amino acids, which are the little building blocks in proteins that we need to build muscle, repair cells, that sort of thing. We now know that actually plant proteins do contain these amino acids, not to huge amounts that you might see in something like animal produce, but they still provide a wide variety of amino acids. Now, there may be some amino acids that are limited, and the one that springs to mind is an amino acid called lysine. But by varying what you're eating, you should be covering your amino acid requirements. And when I say varying them, I'm saying, right, also spread your protein through the day. So make sure you're getting some protein with breakfast, some protein with lunch, some protein with dinner, and choose a variety. Some really good vegan options would be quinoa, which we tend to think of as a grain, but it's really a seed. And that's a complete source of vegan protein. Also contains some other really beneficial nutrients. Buckwheat is another really useful protein for vegans. And then, of course, there's soya. So tofu, tempeh, all the different forms of soya. And then you've got your beans, your pulses, your nuts and seeds. And that would give you a good spread of protein through the day. Also, actually, it's important to say with protein, it's important that you're eating enough calories in your diet, because if you're not getting enough fat and carbohydrate, the body will use protein as a source of energy. So as long as you're getting sufficient calories and you're balancing out your protein through the day, then most vegans should be absolutely fine.
Stay tuned for more great health and nutrition advice from Kerry. Given that, when do we start looking at things like, obviously we're in the midst of winter at the minute. I'm taking vitamin D. I'm taking iron, I'm taking magnesium for sleep, and I'm not vegan, so I'm trying to supplement, things that I feel are missing in my diet. What are the touch points that like vegans should be looking for? When do they need to bring supplements into their diet if they feel like they're not getting what they need from whole foods?
Okay, that's a really good point. So there's some key considerations for vegans. Now, with vitamin D, we are advised by the government that we should consider taking a vitamin D supplement through the autumn winter months. And that's typically from October through to the end of March. About 10 micrograms is the recommendation. Now, for vegans, there's an extra consideration, and that is that they need to look at the type of vitamin D, because not all vitamin D supplements are vegan friendly. And that's because they're derived from animal sources. So vitamin D for a vegan, they should be looking for vitamin D3, ideally, from a lichen source rather than a typical animal-derived source. Now, vitamin D comes in two forms. You have vitamin D2, which is your plant form, and vitamin D3, which is more of an animal form. And D3 is felt to be more effective at raising the blood levels of vitamin D3, is thought to be better at raising the blood levels of vitamin D. So it does pay to get a vegan-friendly vitamin D3. Some useful tips for the diet and for in the summer months, April to September. First of all, when we do get sunlight, which is how we tend to produce vitamin D, the action of sun on the skin, whenever the sun is at a height that your shadow is shorter than your height, then that's ideal for making vitamin D. So exposing some of your skin at that point would be really beneficial. And then in terms of plant forms of vitamin D, there aren't many, but mushrooms can be. And typically what I tend to do, if I'm going to cook with mushrooms, I take them out and I put them on the counter during the peak of the day in direct sunlight. And that helps them to produce vitamin D2, which is the plant form. So exposing your mushrooms...
They're still going. You mean they're still, even though they've been cut, they're still...
Yeah, absolutely. Exposing them to UV light for at least 20 minutes will help them produce vitamin D2. You can also buy some that actually say they've been exposed to UV light and therefore are more likely to have vitamin D.
That's amazing.
but that's a really good way of helping to top up your vitamin D. Again, it's D2, so it's not quite as effective as D3, but every little helps. So... then other nutrients, vitamin B12 is especially important for vegans, and that's because it's from animal sources that we obtain our vitamin B12. Now, as a vegan, an ideal way of getting your B12 would be looking at these fortified foods, so things like plant milks, so soya milk, almond milk, oat milk, all of these, if you look for the fortified version, you should be getting some vitamin B12. And ideally, you'd want about two glasses of plant milk, plus maybe a spoonful of fortified yeast flakes. And these are the sort of cheesy, savory
nutritional yeast. Yeah.
Yeah, that you can sprinkle on your main meals. And that will give you vitamin B12. Now, some vegans actually prefer to supplement, and a daily supplement of about 10 micrograms of vitamin B12 would also be useful. So those are the options with B12. Other things to consider, you mentioned iron. Now, iron tends to be low in females. We know that from the National Nutrition Diet Surveys. And with iron, we need iron for energy, for our red blood cells. So it is really important. And we tend to think of iron mainly from animal foods. And that's true. It does provide a source of really absorbable iron. But vegans can get iron from plants as well. And we tend to refer to this as non-heme iron. So it's not quite as absorbable as the iron we might get from meat. But good sources would be things like lentils, even things like dried apricots are great sources of iron. And if you combine a vitamin C food, so say you put peppers in a lentil stew, then you will be helping your body absorb that iron and accessing that iron. And there's another thought with iron for vegans. Because a lot of the foods that contain iron also contain a natural compound called phytate, that can inhibit how we absorb iron. So there's some sort of little kitchen tricks you can use here. And that's things like pre-soaking some of your vegetables. This works particularly well with something like quinoa. So quinoa is a good source of protein, as we said, but also things like zinc as well. And if we soak our quinoa before we use it, we can actually help reduce the phytate levels. Fermenting is another option at reducing these levels that inhibit these minerals. And germinating nuts and seeds can also help as well. So that can be a beneficial thing. Then other nutrients that can be important are calcium. Really good way of getting calcium is, again, these fortified plant milks, because they are fortified at the same level as cow's milk would be. So doing a straight swap for a plant milk will help you get calcium. And then other things that are really useful for calcium are things like green leafy vegetables. And a really good one is that superfood of all foods, which is kale, because it's low in something called oxalate. And oxalate interferes with our calcium absorption as well. So because it's low in oxalate, it's actually better than spinach for things like iron and calcium. Yeah, so that's a good option. So yeah, I think those are the main ones, really. There are some others, such as there's a nutrient that doesn't get an awful lot of airtime, and it's called choline. And we get choline from things like egg yolks. And choline is really important for our memory, keeping our brain sharp, because it helps us produce a brain chemical called acetylcholine. But we can get choline in plant foods. Things like peanuts are a good source of choline, soya, and even strawberries and broccoli. Wow. So, you know, as long as I think about being a vegan, it's about learning more about nutrition. Yeah. And a lot of vegans are so knowledgeable on where to get nutrients.
It sounds like, I said before, I think we could almost do a whole episode on vitamins and supplements, and we probably should in the future, because it's such a fascinating, you know, where to get them naturally and then when you might need to bring in the big guns from the chemist, which is fine. I mean, I think what you're saying and what's important for people is we can't always, whatever diet we're pursuing, get everything we need from food all the time. You know, sometimes we might need a little bit of help. You've been really kind and gone on olivemagazine.com and found us some great suggestions for healthy breakfast, lunches and dinners, which are going to give you a lot of the nutrients that you've been talking about in a nice, natural way. Mm-hmm. So let's go through them. Okay, so what have we got for breakfast?
So for breakfast, I've chosen an overnight oats. Nice. It's called coconut overnight oats. But what I would do with this one here, we've given a choice in the ingredients. You can either use a coconut milk or you can use an almond milk. I would go for something like an almond milk with this recipe and finish with my coconut flakes for that nice coconutty flavour. An almond milk typically would be fortified, so look for your fortified version, and then you'll be guaranteeing that you'll be getting the calcium, vitamin B12, iodine if it's fortified with iodine, and potentially vitamin D as well. So that's a really good start to the morning. Then we've topped our overnight oats with pumpkin seeds and chia seeds. By doing this, we're topping up on protein, so that's really good. We're also adding some of those omega-3 essential fats, and we're adding minerals like zinc and iron, so that's a really useful thing. And oats themselves, they're a good whole grain, so they fit into our carbohydrate section of our plate, and they also provide zinc. So a really good, nutritious breakfast to start with. And then, as I say, you can finish perhaps with some berries or some coconut flakes. Probably a word to say on coconut is that it's one of the few plant sources of fat which is high in saturated fat. It's mainly coconut and palm oil that are high in saturated fat. And obviously, we still need to keep an eye on our saturates. So that's something to be mindful of. You can still enjoy coconut, coconut oil, coconut milk, coconut cream, because it adds a great creaminess and a lovely flavour.
Richness.
To dishes. Yeah, absolutely. And it does help increase calories as well on a vegan diet. So it's just about being mindful of how much you're using.
Can I ask you a question about oats? Because I love porridge and I love overnight oats, and I use it in smoothies and as well. I've recently had two types. One is like a bog standard porridge oats, which is a bit more broken up. Mm-hmm. And then the one I've got at the minute is like rolled oats, like much more defined whole oats. Mm-hmm. Is there benefits to both? Is one better than the other? Because I kind of like my normal porridge oats better.
Well, the whole oats, those ones that you're describing that really look chunky, obviously they are more nutritious because they're the whole, you know, the whole grain. They've been less processed. The other ones have been more processed, which makes them better if you're in a hurry. So if you're not doing your overnight oats and you want to quickly make up a porridge, then getting those more refined, more processed ones does help speed that up. One thing with doing overnight oats is that you're also helping with the breakdown of those natural inhibitors that I was talking about. So you're making the porridge easier to digest. You're going to be accessing those minerals much easier. So it's a really good little thing to do as well. But I would go for the whole chunky oats. That's what I choose.
Okay. I knew you were going to say that. Okay. So let's move on to our lunchtime treats, is a lovely shredded veg and miso soup. Sounds gorgeous.
This is lovely, this one. So it's got some really useful ingredients here. So we've got the quinoa. Now, quinoa is a complete protein. It has some omega-3 fats, so it's quite useful on that part. Good mineral content, so things like zinc. And it's a source of that nutrient that we were talking about, choline. And choline is so important for keeping our brain sharp, and it's really useful. And so quinoa can really help with that. And it's better, actually. It's richer than rice. So choosing quinoa instead of rice is a good move. And then the miso adds that nice savoury, salty flavour, but it also is a source of zinc, so really useful, as well as things like manganese and copper. So a really good mineral-dense additive there. Plus it's fermented. And fermentation, again, makes nutrients more accessible to us, but also good for feeding our gut's microbiota as well. So that's good. And then we've used up my all-time favourite kale in there, which is nice low oxalate containing leafy green. So it's full of calcium and magnesium, interestingly enough. So leafy greens are so important for magnesium, which help our muscles relax and are involved in so many different enzyme reactions in the body. So another really nice recipe.
And it looks, I mean, you just look at the bowl, it looks like a bowl of goodness. And fuck, I just want to dive into that right now.
I know. I would love that in my kitchen right now, ready for me to have lunch.
And then finally, onto our dinner. What have you chosen for that?
So I've chosen the Chinese-style purple sprouting broccoli with tofu. Now, soya obviously is a complete protein, so really useful if you're vegans. When you're buying your tofu, look for calcium-set tofu, and you'll see calcium on the ingredient list. That just means it's a good contributor of calcium to the diet. Obviously, it's a complete protein, and it's also a good source of polyunsaturated fats, so these healthier, heart-friendly, unsaturated fats. When I'm cooking my Chinese-style broccoli, I'll be using rapeseed oil, again, to boost my omega-3 intake. But you could use olive oil, or you could use an alternative, say something like sesame oil. But I will use the rapeseed to boost omega-3. Broccoli is such a good vegetable. Again, it's the source of that underrated nutrient choline. It's going to give you folate, so really important if you're looking to conceive. Also rich in calcium, so a good calcium source, and a source of vitamin C as well. So broccoli is a good all-rounder. It also is really high in these compounds called sulforaphane, which are useful for anti-cancer. Now, we've kept the broccoli in this stir fry quite chunky, but if you chop it up more finely, you actually create more of these protective compounds. Because the action of the chopping, it makes the enzyme that creates this really beneficial compound come into play. So chopping it up and then keeping it to one side while you're preparing the rest of the dish, and then adding it all in, and you'll have some nice anti-cancer compounds in there as well. So
it's the chopping it and then leaving it for a little while.
Yeah.
It's a bit like our mushrooms sitting in the sun. It's kind of chop it up and let it start doing whatever that magic thing it is.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Yep.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so quite often we think, if we prepare something, we must quickly use it. But it doesn't always work that way. So,
That's fantastic. I've learned so much today. This is brilliant. That's brilliant, Kerry. And you can find all of those recipes on olivemagazine.com. Thank you so much for coming to chat to us, Kerry. It's been a real education. I think people are going to love this. But it's really great to see your face. And thank you very much. Thanks for listening to the Olive Magazine podcast. If you want to listen to the other episodes in this special vegan series or explore more of our back catalogue of over 200 episodes, you'll find us on all the main platforms and at our website, olivemagazine.com, where you'll also find tons of useful recipes and some great cooking advice.